Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
There is excitement, you know, and Justin's a guy that he prepares well. This is going to be his first time to truly prepare as the starter and see what it's like every single day to do that stuff mentally and then physically in practice. And then also, too, I think the other thing is this is obviously big news to a lot of people and to him. And I think the biggest thing that we can help him with, too, is just like the distraction part, is making sure that you take care of what you need to take care of, keep them insulated. And that's what we'll do. And then go out and learn when you're playing. Go have fun. Be a great teammate. And that's probably one of Justin's greatest strengths. And I'll just say this. I'll go back to that interception at the end of the game the other day. We were talking about it as a staff. One of the things that we thought was really impressive from Justin was him not being affected by that interception. And he came back and it was next play mentality. So this will be a challenge in Cleveland. Loud crowd, great football team, really good defense on the road. It's going to be a great challenge for all of us.
Well, there it is, Alyssa. Justin Fields' time has arrived with the Bears, right? I mean, maybe a little earlier than a lot of us hoped. We can't do our happy dance quite yet because Matt Nagy keeps telling us that Andy Dalton will be the starter once again when he recovers from this bone bruise, but we'll get into that. What's your reaction? Fields' time has, at least a taste of it, has arrived.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, Bears fans are, you know, shocked at this point because obviously Andy Dalton's injury is going to sideline him and, you know, Fields is the number two guy. So it's his job to be ready and he's ready. I think the question, and I know we're going to get into this, is further down the line what happens after this week or the following week or when Dalton does come back. But, you know, there's a lot of excitement. Like, it's hard to temper that because this is the first time we're going to get to see Justin Fields not just thrown into the middle of a game like he was against the Bengals. This week, he gets an entire week of practice to go get you to work with the starting offense, something that he never got an opportunity to do during training camp and preseason. And he's going to hopefully have a game plan tailored to his strengths, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I think this is going to be there are going to be growing pains with him. And I don't think Bears fans are too worried about that. You saw that last week. You know, against the Bengals, his stat line wasn't the prettiest thing. He had some, you know, of the rookie mistakes that you would expect and what he has to go out there and do in order to learn. But I mean, I think at this point, it's just a whole lot of excitement because this feels like the start of the Justin Fields era. And I know, you know, we're talking about Andy Dalton. He's going to be the starter when he comes back healthy. I don't buy any of that. I'm not worried about that because I think Fields is going to go out there and, you know, win the job.
It's hard to take Matt Nagy serious right now because he's all over the place, right? And earlier this week, case in point, he's pressed on that very topic, right? Is Andy going to return as a starter? And Nagy tells the reporters, well, I'm not going to talk about scheme. And they keep pushing it, and he doesn't go there. And then he leaves the podium, Alyssa. Then they send the PR person out to let the media know that, oh, yeah, no, wait, actually, Andy Dalton will be the starter when he's healthy again, and Justin will go back to be a number two. So that was really weird. So first of all, I'll let you address that because I know that's something that Bears fans just rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, I remember texting you once it happened, and I sent you a link to just like kind of the whole story. It was just bizarre. Yep. And looking back at it, I wasn't angry about Nagy putting his horse behind Dalton because I expected him to do that. That wasn't what I think Bears fans are upset about. It was that Nagy continuously, twice, both times he was straight up asked, is Andy Dalton going to be the starting quarterback when he comes back healthy or if he's healthy? And two straight times, Nagy said, you know, I'm not going to get into that. And then the second time he got into it with Brad Biggs from the Tribune saying, I can't answer that. That's about scheme. When technically it's about personnel instead of scheme, but, you know, whatever, I digress. But, you know, and then 5 minutes later, he goes and he sends a PR person to make the announcement that Andy Dalton's a starter. And it was just like a slap in the face to like the media, especially in the room covering him, and to the Bears fans, like in general, like, why will you not just own up to it? And we all know the reason why, because he would have to answer the why questions, right? Why would Dalton be the starter if Fields is in there? blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, I just think the whole way it was handled was not a good look for Nagy. And, you know, I mean, I get what he was going with. Like, just come out and say that Andy Dalton's a starter, or just, you know, put it off and be like, I'm not going to get into that. Say no, but don't then refuse to answer the question, but then send someone out to give an answer and then say that you didn't understand the question when it was blatantly clear both times it was asked. It was not a good look.
Yeah, yeah. I think he said today it was a miscommunication or something, or I didn't understand. And it's like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You were dodging. And I think that's where I'm 100% with the fans. Like, we would like the head coach who's pulling all the strings to have some conviction in his decisions and not play mind games with us. Right, that's what we're looking for as a fan base. And I think this whole thing with the quarterbacks, we've been talking about it for months. This whole thing is just, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because Andy Dalton's the starter no matter what, and he's the starter until Justin Fields is ready, right? So we're waiting for Justin Fields to be ready, and we're easing him in with these small packages, and that was the plan, apparently. We're trying to figure out his plan. And the plan is for Andy to be the starter and Justin to kind of come along behind him until he's ready, and once he's ready, we'll all know it, right? Remember that quote. Well, now Dalton's injured, and Justin's going to start and be – so he's ready enough to start in Cleveland against one of the best teams in the AFC. And no matter how well he plays, Alyssa, Dalton's going to come back and be the starter, and Justin will go back to that reduced role. Like, if the coach was being consistent and, like, having any consistency with his plan, wouldn't we see some Nick Foles in this game? Wouldn't he still limit the pack? Like, he's been telling us through the preseason and the regular season that Fields – he isn't quite ready to handle the load yet, guys. Andy's the starter. But yet, when Andy's hurt, Fields is ready to go. Like, that thing that makes no sense to me. So I feel like if the coach was being consistent, we should see Nick Foles this week. So the whole thing with Dalton being the starter when he comes back, it just makes zero sense. I cannot wrap my head around the thought of Fields potentially playing really well against Cleveland and possibly beyond, and then coming and sitting back down and being the number two guy once Dalton's bone bruise is healed or whatever. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, the Matt Nagy saga has been, you know, quite interesting. He always seems to contradict himself, because I was thinking back a training camp or preseason when he was asked about, you know, well, you know, because he kept mentioning how Fields wasn't ready. So then one of the beat writers was like, well, you know, then why is he the number two quarterback?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
exactly.
If Fields truly wasn't ready, why wasn't Foles the number two guy? And because even Mitch Trubisky started out as the third string quarterback, who moved up to the second string by the start of the regular season, but he was the number three guy during training camp and you know, most of the time during preseason. So, like, at that point, like, why is he the number two? Because the number two always needs to be ready. So I don't buy this whole, I don't think Justin Fields is ready, especially when you have the offensive coordinator saying he's ready. You have his teammates saying that he's ready. You have everyone that, you know, kind of understands football saying that, you know, he's ready. He can go out and handle this. It's just, I really don't understand that, Nagy. It's so confusing. It's almost like Andy Dalton has something on him. He's like,
incriminating photos.
I think
I texted
you.
Yeah, there's something there.
There's something there, because, you know, like you said, that makes a whole lot of sense, Ryan, because, you know, why is he the number two guy if he's not ready? Because obviously injuries are a big part of the NFL. We've seen it a lot. A lot of quarterbacks have taken over for, you know, starters that had injury. So if he truly wasn't ready, he shouldn't have even been the number two guy. So I don't buy the whole he's not ready. I think Matt Nagy's trying to save face. I don't know whether he's trying, you know, to you know, not hurt Dalton's feelings, or if he's trying to make him a promise, or if Dalton's got dirt on him. I really don't know. But I also don't believe, you know, coach speak at this point. It's just a press conference. He's going to say what he's going to say. Of course he's going to, you know, stick up for Dalton at this point. He's going to say, oh, yeah, Andy's our quarterback. It was bringing back memories of back in like 2006, 2007, that area, with like Rex as our quarterback, when like he was struggling at times, and, you know, like, he just continuously, it's just like this, you know, endless circle of quarterback drama in Chicago. It's just,
nah, he's just obsessed with playing these mind games with us. And, you know, like, I know Nick Foles sucked last year. Like, we saw it. We ripped him on the podcast all season long. We had fun at his expense. Nick Foles wasn't good, but I mean, he is a former Super Bowl MVP, and he is not that much worse than Dalton. They're close. I mean, I think Dalton's a little bit better, but they're close. It's not like Dalton's had a much better career than Nick Foles. You can argue Foles has had a better career than Dalton. At least Foles won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, they're not that different. So this whole thing, it's just confusing. And I'm not saying that Fields shouldn't be the starter. I've wanted Fields to be the starter from day one. I'm just saying that Matt Nagy's his plan has never materialized. It makes zero sense. It continues to confuse all of us. And the continued marriage to Dalton is very, very confusing before we even see what the kid has as a starting quarterback. So let's get into what we expect from Fields here against the Browns and maybe talk a little bit about his day against the Bengals, because it was there was some good and there was some bad, as Alyssa said earlier. We'll do that coming up next.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Let's make this interesting.
Corey Benigni of TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about fantasy football strong plays for week number 3. New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones versus the Atlanta Falcons. Saquon Barkley saw a little more action in week 2, but he still isn't 100% yet. Jones's ability to run the ball brings an added bonus to fantasy, and it never hurts to see him face the worst defense of his position. Atlanta has given up 8 touchdowns in 2 games to quarterbacks through the air without picking off a pass. Jones has the weaponry, and it'll be really surprising if he doesn't approach 275 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. Baltimore Ravens running back Tyson Williams takes on the Detroit Lions on the road. This is the worst defense of the position, and even excluding Aaron Jones' 3 receiving touchdowns, since that's not really Williams' game, we still have one of the easiest matchups of the week. After kind of disappearing in the second half of week 1, Williams remained involved in last week's game, and he finished with 93 yards of total offense on his 15 touches. While Lamar Jackson is always a threat to steal a touchdown, Williams has a really good shot at getting into the end zone. Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Jalen Reagor at the Dallas Cowboys. A strong week 1, and then he disappeared a little bit last week. But this matchup is ideal. Dallas doesn't have a great pass rush. It's weak on the back end. Quarterback Jalen Hurts will have time to go through his reads. And even if he doesn't, he's so dangerous on the run in the scramble drill, which benefits the downfield Reagor. Philadelphia could be asked to pass more than usual in this one. Dallas has given up the third most yards to wide receivers through 2 games, and one out of every less than 11 completions is actually a touchdown by wide receivers. Let's go back and pick on the Detroit Lions a little bit more. Normally I avoid household names, but tight end Mark Andrews has been in kind of a slump. Fantasy gamers may start to get restless if he doesn't find the end zone soon. He has not scored in his last 6 appearances, including last year's postseason, and Andrews has a mere 2 touchdown catches over his last 13 outings. While it's easy to understand the frustration, especially in non-PPR scoring, Andrews shouldn't leave lineups just yet. Detroit has permitted only 7 catches through 2 games to tight ends, but the 130 yards generated ranks 10th, and 1 touchdown against came last week from Robert Tonyan. Lock the veteran tight end in for 1 more week. For more award-winning fantasy news, tips, and advice, please be sure to check out TheHuddle.com.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Win your fantasy football league with TheHuddle.com and use them to dominate player prop bets at Tipico Sportsbook. For a limited time, new Tipico Sportsbook users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, Alyssa. So Fields gets in there against the Bengals. He becomes a starter after Dalton gets hurt. The defense was freaking phenomenal, and I hope we can get into that a little bit later. Roquan Smith, oh my God, he's probably the best player on the freaking team right now. He is playing unbelievable. But you're up 20-3 with 5 minutes left. Burrow hits the 42-yard touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase, and I think that was when Kendall Vildor collided with Eddie Jackson. That was a little ugly out there in the secondary. And then this is when Fields makes the big mistake, right? He throws the interception over the middle. I don't think he ever saw the linebacker. Just a rookie mistake that, you know, the ones that you said we could expect from him. And, oh boy, that came at a tough time because the Bengals scored a play later. And all of a sudden, it's 20-17 with 3:39 left. And the Bengals still had 2 timeouts. So the Bears went from a situation where they're up 17 with 5 minutes left. The game is over. To we're back on the edge of our seats, kind of like, you know, white knuckling this thing and getting to the end. And thankfully, the Bears were able to run the clock out there. Fields made a great first down run where we really saw his athleticism in this game, right? Maybe a couple passes were off. He had a couple of balls that maybe his receivers could have helped him out on. But man, we saw the speed getting outside the pocket, making plays happen. So there was some good and there was some bad and there was some ugly, right, in this extended period for Fields. And we got to hope that he learned a little something and it improves against the Browns, because you can't really play like that and expect to beat Cleveland on the road.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that, you know, it didn't really come as a surprise that he had some mistakes. You know, if you were someone that just looked at the stat line and you didn't watch the game, you're going to be like, holy crap, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the stats are a little bit misleading because, I mean, he made some mistakes. Like, you know, there was some offensive line miscommunication, like with the cadence and stuff, you know, and then his receivers were, you know, dropping passes that dropped touchdown by Allen Robinson. Like, that would change, like, the entire stat line, by the way, for those that like to really look at the box score. And then, obviously, you know, he had that fumble, but he made a great play to knock it out and recover the fumble.
Amazing play to recover that.
Yeah. You got to love that. Yeah. Not the fumble, but the action afterwards.
The fact that he got it back was crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, insane. And then the interception you were mentioning. I mean, that's something where he has to kind of experience that in a game in order to learn from that. So, like, when you kind of look at his overall performance, I mean, it was bad. I mean, he wasn't good. Like, I mean, there's no one's going to tell you otherwise, even Bears fans. But at the same time, it wasn't really anything to be too concerned about. You know, if anything, kind of looking at the offensive line communications and the timing issues with receivers, I mean, this kind of goes back to what we've been talking about with Fields not getting any reps at the first team offense. And that's going to happen because he hasn't worked with them, even in practice. I mean, this is going to be the first week where he's going to actually get extensive reps with the starters on offense. And, you know, he's really got to work that, you know, those timing issues out with someone like Allen Robinson, who he didn't really get to throw to a whole lot, you know? So, I mean, again, looking at everything, not really too concerned. It's going to happen, you know, with a rookie quarterback, they're going to be growing pains and he has to go out there and make mistakes to learn. This season isn't about contending. It's about Justin Fields' development. And the best way for him to learn is to learn right out there on the field.
So what should we expect the game? Now, we talked about them probably tailoring the game plan to Justin Fields' skill set instead of Andy Dalton's, and maybe that'll help him, hopefully, against the Browns. And I thought it'd be a fun exercise to kind of look at what these other rookie quarterbacks that went in the top 15 picks of the draft along with Fields, what teams are doing with these quarterbacks. Right now, the Bears have been employing a similar strategy to what the 49ers are doing with Trey Lance, right, where they're starting the veteran in Jimmy Garoppolo and they're weaving in Trey Lance throughout the game. Now, I don't think Lance played this past week. He played in week one, though, and they're bringing in Lance for a package of plays. So this is what the Bears were doing with Fields. But you look elsewhere, the Patriots, they've been starting Mac Jones from week one. Obviously, they cut Cam Newton, but they are micromanaging him, Alyssa, to the point where I'm just, you know, I got to drink a pot of coffee to stay awake during the Patriots games on Sunday. It's just run the ball, punt, field goal, like conservative, play defense, blah, blah, blah. It's just been so boring. It just has not been very exciting. And that's, you know, that's the Patriots managing their asset, Mac Jones. They're not going to let him, you know, go crazy and lose the game and throw a bunch of interceptions like Zach Wilson with the Jets, right? Like exactly what Zach Wilson did last week against the Patriots, throwing two interceptions on his first two pass attempts. And they're just letting Wilson go wild and just chuck the ball all over the place. He threw four interceptions. He got booed off the field in his first home game this past week against the Patriots. And again, the Patriots are doing nothing but running the ball, punting and kicking field goals, and they won by 19. So that shows you where the Jets are with Zach Wilson. They're on their way to, like, just killing that poor kid, and he's a second overall pick. And then you got Trevor Lawrence, where it's somewhere in the middle, right? They're probably managing him a little bit, but I think Urban Meyer's still trying to figure out how to be an NFL coach. And Lawrence kind of had a miserable day this past weekend against the Broncos, had a QB rating of 37.2. He's somewhere in the middle, right? So what should we expect with Fields here against the Browns? Do you think that they're going to give him a tailored playbook, more like the Patriots are doing, where they're like, you got to micromanage that thing and try not to let him screw it up? Like, let's be honest, it almost happened against the Bengals, right? With the fumble, the interception, like, that game almost got away from the Bears. Or do you think they're going to let it be more like Zach Wilson on the other side and just let him go out there, run around, and sling it around? Like, what are you expecting, Alyssa?
I think it'll be somewhere in the middle, or that's what I'm expecting, because this offense still, at least at this point, you know, starts with running the ball with David Montgomery. I know he only had about 60 rushing yards last week compared to, you know, the 100 he had the first week, but they're going to start with running the football. And, you know, something that obviously that's different with Fields, with Dalton, I know that Dalton can run a little bit, but that also got him in trouble as he got hurt. You know, Fields' athleticism is going to, I think, can really open things up. I was really disappointed that, you know, I didn't see any adjustments from Matt Nagy, you know, when Fields came in the game against the Bengals in terms of, you know, roll Fields out. You know, we didn't see any of that, things that he's really good at doing. And that will also help with that offensive line that, you know, was having its struggles there, especially on the interior. But, you know, I expect them to open up the downfield passing game a little bit more, you know, because when you kind of look back at that game, you see that he was making some good throws, you know, whether the receivers were catching them, you know, if they were dropping them or if they're just off their fingertips, things that can be fixed with timing issues, you know, with getting that timing down between quarterback and receiver. So, I mean, I am hoping, you know, you hope with Matt Nagy, but that he will adjust this. You know, he was talking about, you know, not wanting to name the starting quarterback earlier this week because of scheme. So he obviously, two different quarterbacks, you're going to have two completely different game plans. You know, he's going to, you know, he talked a little bit about listening to what Fields says that, you know, he does well and like what he would like to see. So, you know, we'll see if that comes to fruition. But, you know, kind of looking at, you know, going back to you're talking about with the other rookie quarterbacks, you know, with Mac Jones and how they are micromanaging him, you know, I would be, you know, more in favor of them kind of going, leaning more towards the Zach Wilson route, just because, you know, you have to let these quarterbacks go out on the field and learn and make mistakes, you know, all the highs and lows that come with it, because that's the best way you're going to learn. You know, some quarterbacks have had horrific rookie seasons. Look at Peyton Manning. And, you know, like, that's the kind of stuff that helps you in the long run. So, I mean, but I think Mac Jones is definitely in the best position. You have Josh McDaniels as your offensive coordinator. And then you look at some of the other quarterbacks and the positions that they're in, totally, including Fields with Matt Nagy, who gave up play calling last year. And then once he did, it kind of seemed to get going. So obviously the play calling issues are still going to be a concern, but Fields also has the ability to make something out of nothing. So even if Nagy might try to, you know, kind of, you know, pigeonhole him a little bit or kind of hold him back, I think that, you know, if he needs to, he's going to go out there and make a play, but it probably won't be the original one. You know, I don't know. We'll see. I am really hoping that they actually, that Matt Nagy does cater to him and doesn't really play it super safe. You know, I know that, you know, he still wants to win. They want to win the game. And, you know, obviously they're running offense first, but, you know, let Fields take his shots. Let Fields do what makes him the guy that they traded up to get 11 overall.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I love about Fields' game is, number one, when he does get outside the pocket, Alyssa, the defenders don't know what angles to take on him because he's deceptively fast, right? Mm-hmm. He has gears.
Yeah.
And he kicks that thing into gears as he turns the corner and he scoots up that sideline. And he made a couple of really nice plays. And I also like that he was not afraid to chuck it down the field in tight windows, right? And you mentioned it. A lot of those balls were glancing off the receiver's fingertips. I think a lot of those guys were probably surprised that the ball was coming because there was tight windows and Fields is chucking it in there. He's not afraid. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how much they let him be aggressive, whether they manage him a little bit. I agree with you. I think it's a good point. I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. And hopefully they do. We've been pounding our, you know, pounding the desk saying, get the run game going, establish the run, give it to David Montgomery. Well, here's your chance to kind of ease Fields in, get him comfortable, run the ball, soften that defense up, and then attack. So we do know this, though, Alyssa. We know that Justin Fields being named the starter is worth a point, right? The point, the spread for the Bears and the Browns in Cleveland has come down a point, and it's because Fields was named the starter. So 1 point back for the Bears. They're still underdogs. We'll talk about the spread and make a pick coming up next.
This is the Typical Sportsbook Minute. Let's make this interesting.
Hello, I'm Esten McLaren of Bet Slippin' Podcast and SportsbookWire.com, here with my colleague Jeff Clark to break down the Week 3 Monday Night Football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles are plus 3.5 road underdogs, minus 110 odds. I love that bet. It's one of my favorites of the week. Jalen Hurts, his mobility is going to be able to exploit that Dallas Cowboys defense that was without defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence for the second straight week. It held up for Dallas last week against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think Hurts can exploit it. And that Philadelphia defense through 2 weeks has been fantastic. I like them to keep this within a field goal on the road. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on this one. Also take the Eagles plus 3.5 on the road in Monday Night Football because of the defense. Their defensive line is going to make it really tough for an albeit a great Dallas offensive line. But the Eagles are first in points per play on the defensive end. And I think their defense is going to do enough to keep this game close. Plus Jalen Hurts is a gamer. Go with the Eagles plus 3.5.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Minute. For a limited time, new users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, so looking at the line on the Tipico Sportsbook, as we said, this spread between the Bears and the Browns has come down a point. It was 7.5, and it has come down to 6.5. It's an interesting matchup, right? In the fact that this is a Browns team that this is their chance. In the AFC North, like you look at the Steelers, they have a million injuries right now. It's like they're kind of playing out the string with Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like he might be cashed. You know, the Steelers, you're wondering how long they're going to be able to hang around this year. The Ravens, they have a ton of injuries. The Bengals, we saw them last week. I mean, I think they're still a couple years away. I like Joe Burrow, but they're still a couple years away. This is a chance for the Browns to go out and win their division. They've got a lot of great pieces. Nick Chubb in the run game, love him. Defensive pass rush, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. It doesn't get much better than that. You know, 7.5, when that opened, I was thinking long and hard on the Bears, but I think 6.5, it makes it a little bit easier to side with the Browns. I just think they're a little bit ahead of where the Bears are. Justin Fields' first start. Don't know where the game plan's going with Matt Nagy. How conservative, how aggressive are they going to be? I just feel if I have to bet this, I'm leaning Browns because I just feel a little bit more confident in where the Browns are and they're at home. And it's a tough spot for the Bears, I think, in this one. So I'm leaning Browns at 6.5. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I have to agree. You know, like you were mentioning about that point makes a lot of difference. I think I don't think it's going to be a blow up by any means. I mean, the Browns defense has had its struggles over the first couple of weeks. And, you know, if Tyrod Taylor doesn't go down last week, you know, that would have been an interesting, you know, game there down the stretch between the Browns and the Texans. So, you know, I mean, like you said, Justin Fields first start on the road. You know, I mean, I'd still have to probably lean with the Browns. I mean, I think it's going to be close enough, but I still feel most comfortable probably doing that.
Yeah, I mean, big reason I swing to the Browns side is because the line comes down under 7, right? And I think over 7, like, it's hard to bet the Browns to cover over 7 against the Bears, especially with the way their defense played. I mean, Roquan's on a mission. I mean, he might be the Bears' best player right now. He's out of control. He's led the team in tackles back-to-back weeks. I thought Kendall Vildor actually competed okay. Yeah, he's got his moments. I mean, we mentioned him crashing into the free safety on that touchdown pass to Jamar Chase there. So, but, you know, the slot continues to be a problem, right? I mean, we saw Marquis Christian in the first game, Duke Shelley this past week. Like, teams are just targeting the slot receiver at this point. And until the Bears figure that thing out, they could be in for a long game. But I'm looking at the total. It's at 46.5. And the Browns have some injuries on their own, right? Like, they have Jarvis Landry. Doesn't sound like he's got to play. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't played a snap yet this season coming off the ACL. This might be the game he returns, but the Browns have some injuries. The Bears, I think, as I said, might have some growing pains with Justin Fields. He is a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes, I think. I could see the Browns maybe get a strip sack or a pick or something like that. I mean, I'm sure it's going to happen. I'll see this being a high-scoring shootout is what I'm trying to get at. I think both sides have their things, and the Browns could easily just lean on the run game. So could the Bears. So 46.5, I think I'm going under.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely take the under. I mean, like you said, I'm really curious to see how this Bears defense responds after last week. I mean, like, obviously looking at that first week, and, you know, we wanted to see, you know, how were they going to be able to rebound, and they did. But I think this week will also be very telling. And how do they come off a victory like that where everything just kind of seemed to be going their way, where the fact that they kicked off Joe Burrow like on 3 consecutive throws, I don't even know if that's ever happened before. That was
unbelievable.
Just insane.
Yeah, it was wild.
Unbelievable. And like you said, Roquan, he's elite right now. I know he won't say, you know, I don't care about Pro Bowl and All Pro and all that stuff. You know, he's playing like he does. You know, he's been snubbed and he's out to prove that he's one of the best linebackers in the game, which he is. And he's proved that through the first 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm still a little concerned about, you know, obviously cornerback, especially in the slot. But Jalen Johnson, too, has quietly been having a really impressive year in year two here, where he's the highest graded cornerback with Pro Football Focus. He leads the league with 5 pass breakups. He got his first interception. He's, you know, I think he's allowing like a passer rating of around 66 to opposing quarterbacks. I mean, like, he's having a year so far, and I'm hoping that teams continue to target him. You know, once they realize you can't, I mean, you know, that's good news for them, not so much for us, because for the Bears, because obviously then you have, I mean, Kendall Vildor, who, I mean, he was okay, but he had a bit of a rough outing there. I think he was one of the lowest graded Bears from last week.
It wasn't great. He had one play on a fourth down.
It wasn't great. And then the nickelback is the worst, though. Yeah. Like, just no one's working. Marquis Christian isn't working. Duke Shelley isn't working. Someone like DJ Hayden or like someone on the street can be better, right? Like, I don't know at this point. Sure. Like, so I'm really concerned about like the deep, like, I mean, not concerned, but I think I'm really curious to see how the defense responds, you know, against the Browns, which the offense, you know, they have some weapons, right? And if they get Eddie Goldman back this week, which we'll see once they start practicing and when the practice report comes up, I think that'll go a long way when you have to contend with someone like Nick Chubb. So, I mean, really think the defense is going to be the factor in this game. I mean, you would like for it to be Justin Fields, but at this point, it's his first start. The offense, they still have to get, you know, that chemistry and the timing down. So, I mean, I'm expecting some more. It's not going to be, you know, super pretty at this point because they haven't had a lot of time to work together. So, I mean, I think the defense has a chance to, if there's going to be an upset or for the Browns to cover, I think that it'll be because of the defense.
We should be talking about the defense, but the offense tried to give it back. You know, 20-3 with 5 minutes left. What happened? So, you know, it was...
The Bears never make anything easy, Ryan.
No.
You see what I've dealt with for decades?
It is painful, Alyssa. It is. It is painful being invested in this team as we talk about it. It's like, oh, man, what are we doing? How is it a three-point game with 3.5 minutes left and two timeouts for the Bengals all of a sudden? Like, what? Like, how did that happen? This should be fun. I mean... This is a great matchup, a great test on the road against a Browns team that could easily win the AFC North and be a playoff team this year. I don't think that's out of the question at all for the Browns. But, you know, it is the Browns, so you never know. This game could go either way. We'll see how Justin Fields does. Hopefully Andy Dalton doesn't get healthy between now and kickoff. You know, hopefully his bone bruise continues so we can actually see the kid play a game. That's what I'm hoping for. Hold off Dalton for a few more weeks, Alyssa. But thanks for subscribing and leaving us a review. Find us on Apple Podcasts and enjoy the game. We will talk to you all next week.
This USA Today Sports Podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.